Here, we're going to do, who's doing announcements? That was a subtext, not me.
We finished the tea party. So this is very exciting. This is coming up this weekend. Winston McCullough is coming down from Oregon to teach this two-day course, Change Your Mind, Change Your World. If you've not been in a class with Dr. McCullough before, Lama Winston before, I would highly encourage it. He's an incredible human being and one of the trailblazers in positive psychology, and he's just incredibly easy to learn from and always has incredibly wonderful classes.
I have a quick question. How many people are planning to come to that?
Wait. That was an easy pitch.
We're talking about having a potluck afterwards. So if you want to participate in the potluck, Saturday night, then just have that in your mind, and I'll have the address and everything.
Along those lines, I was wondering, because it's 10 to 4, like, should we bring lunch?
Yeah, good question. Either bring your lunch, or we all kind of individually wander off, or sometimes a group of us will just congregate up at Don Terrell's, up on the corner here on 24th and whatever that is.
Second,
right.
Okay. And then on Wednesdays, this is really an incredible opportunity on Wednesday nights. Our lovely Miss Heather is going through an entire series of courses. Like the Tuesday night courses are often sort of, you know, here, there, and everywhere, a little bit of different something. We'll have guest teachers come in. But the Wednesday night courses are really like, well, they're more random, right? But the Wednesday night courses are really more in a pattern and in a formal order. So if you really like book learning and you want the opportunity to really dig deeply into these teachings, that's those Wednesday night classes. And you can take them as light or as heavy as you want. You don't have to do all this heavy coursework, but that's just a really great opportunity to do that, and it's a very rare opportunity. It's not very often that this sort of regular classwork is offered, and so just wanted to point out that these classes on Wednesday night and how incredibly special they are. And some of us have been through all of the 18 courses, and it's just an incredible, incredible overview of everything that we're learning in a, I don't know, life-changing experience from personal experience, I speak.
I have a question on that that maybe Heather can answer. Are you teaching, is the Karma course, tomorrow's the last night for that section, our sessions, and then something else is going to start next Wednesday? Is it just starting over?
No, the next course is on emptiness.
Okay.
Which Amy was talking about with the plan.
Beautiful, okay.
And that, I don't think we're starting that until August.
Yeah, we're taking a break on Wednesdays
because
we thought we would, we'll see, we're leaving it open so that people who take Losam Tseltram's course can gather together and we could do a follow-up courses on what he's teaching in discussion group. And then on Thursday night, there'll be a little bit of that as well, along with the meditation that will relate to Geshe Tsultram's teachings. So we'll have a full, you can just plan on spending your Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's for, I love Mondays.
Oh, and then Monday, that's right. And then we have Monday, so I know. So then we got Monday, too. So that's my only class. And we're going to get into, anyway, more than you need to know, but what I'm going to do is wait and see how many people want to do a Wednesday course, given that we have Thursday meditation, NVC Mondays, and Geshe Tsultram on Tuesday.
And speaking of Thursdays, starting this Thursday, David will be doing our very own David right here from center. We'll be doing a community meditation course in this room from 6:30 to 8. You want to just say a little bit again what you guys will be doing?
Yeah, what's going to happen is we'll work on, if you're new to meditation, approaching it, if you're a pro at it, just sort of deepening your practice, and then looking at in the Tibetan Buddhist lineage, just how to organize a regular practice, go over some of the fundamentals of it, the preliminaries and dedication and kind of Dharma etiquette, and then particular practices, placement, and either long-rim subjects or aspects of the 12 links. And so it's going to be, part of what's going to drive it is what you bring into it, too. So if there's something you want to work on, you know, we'll throw it into the circle and work on it. So I'm not so much teaching it as I'll try and just, we're all in the raft together, and I got a hand on the oar, and we'll see where it ends up. It'll be kind of fun.
Cool. Thank you. I'm excited.
And then Friday, June 16th, once a month, the third Friday of every month, a group of us come together at Loaves and Fishes here downtown to serve breakfast to the homeless. I believe that the volunteer spots for actually serving are all full in June, yet there's always opportunity to help. Food donations can be given very easily the night before. We serve a breakfast that includes hard-boiled eggs, cheese sticks, granola bars. And so you could commit to purchasing or creating some of these and then just drop them off at Dasha's house the night before. She doesn't even have to be there. It's an incredibly simple thing to do, or you could drop them off that morning. We also are always collecting reusable bags. Like, you know, you go to conferences, you get all these little totes, or maybe you have a backpack that you don't use anymore. Any of that kind of stuff, we will always collect that because that's what we give the breakfast away in, so that they have a reusable bag to use. And we're also going to start collecting reusable water containers, drinking vessels. So if you have, I don't know, if you're like me and you've got 50,000 of them because you collect one free every time you go somewhere and you want some place to give them, bring them here and we will put them to good use. Dasha will use them for the breakfast. And there's not information on the website yet about the homeless breakfast, but there is on our Facebook page. If you go to the Facebook page, you'll find events related to the homeless breakfast and the URL that you can click to sign up to donate food this month or through the end of the year. Actually, there's sign-ups available already through the whole end of the year. This summer, Geshe Soltram is coming back to teach the 12 links of dependent origination. Lama told us last week that earlier this year, the Dalai Lama gathered all of his Geshes together and asked them to go out into the world and teach the 12 links of dependent origination. And so Geshe La has offered to come here and do that with us here in Sacramento this summer, starting on June 20th. And so there'll be 6 weeks, and then there's a couple weeks break in the middle where he's going to teach something else, and then the other 6 weeks are coming, so that's why there's not 12 weeks listed there. But it'll all be here. It'll all be on Tuesday nights, and it'll be from 6:30 to 8:30. And then we are planning a New Year's retreat for this year. Lama has done them in the past, where we've gathered from December 28th until January 1st in silence to receive teachings and contemplate the new year in together. It's an incredibly beautiful experience. We literally ring the new year in the middle of the night outside chanting together. It's fabulously beautiful. This year we will be up in Nevada County and near Nevada City at a place called Harmony Ridge. The fee for the retreat is $500. The teachings are free, but we got to pay for the room and the food and all that kind of stuff. So unfortunately there is that kind of charge, but we do also have a scholarship. So if you'd like to go, come talk to me. You could talk to Lama about it if you have any questions. If you know you want to go and you're raring to pay that deposit, you can go to the website and just make a payment as if you were making a donation and just put in the notes that it's for the retreat and we'll keep track of it there. And that's it. And the last thing I want to say, although I'm pretty sure everybody here has heard this, we are an all-volunteer organization. We pay all of the bills and help bring in the teachers with donations, and so there are bowls at the back if you're so inclined. If you're like me and you forget to bring cash, it's super easy to set up a regular donation through PayPal, and it takes it out every month, and you don't even have to think about it. That's all.
Great. Thank you. And we can always use help setting up and cleaning up and just pitching in as a community, and if you want to do something on a more regular basis with that, talk to Heather.
Five.
Yeah. Okay. No problem. Thank you. Okay, so we did right at understanding, right at, and I had to do in my mind, my expectation was that we would now do right intention. Um, So let's start on that and just see where we get. See how that flows. So right intention, the Buddha explained right intention as threefold. The intention of renunciation, the intention of goodwill, and the intention of harmlessness or non-harm or compassion, right? So renunciation, refuge, that's often translated, that it had brought up this with this idea of definite emergence. And I love this idea of definite emergence because to me, again, it's like all of these ideas, you can really play with it, but it's like definite emergence onto the path, right? So the gift of actually knowing there's a path and being on the path is that you get that sense that you can trust the path to find you, to lead you to your true home, to your true refuge. And so that even at those moments when the ground is shaking beneath you and when there's a loss that's going to alter your life forever, you can still trust that you have a path that's going to take you to find your way to your true home. And that's possible. That ground, that path holds you through the upheavals in a way that when you're not on a path, you just are then kind of putting band-aids on different situations, putting out fires here and there. And you can use Buddhist techniques and mindfulness techniques to do that, but you don't have that feeling that you're moving in that direction towards true refuge. So right intention of goodwill, non-aversion, and that, and then the non-harming is compassion. And the three are, the Buddha opposes these three to three parallel kinds of wrong intention, which I didn't put up there, which is intention that's governed by harmful desire. So if you're going to create negative karma, what's the cause of, what forces us, what to create, plant negative karmic seeds, what causes us? And they say it's greed, hate, and ignorance or delusion, right? And greed or desire is ignorant desire, meaning being willing to harm somebody to get what you want or to harm yourself to get what you want, which is really powerful. I mean, that's the test, the litmus test right there. Am I pushing someone out of the way to get what I want in a really harmful way, right? Because it's okay, desire's okay, but if I really love, Jamba Juices, then the way I'm going to create more Jamba Juices in my life is by finding other people who like Jamba Juice and giving them away. Like, so the desire for itself isn't bad. The way that I'm not going to create it in my future life is if I go and steal someone else's, like I push down a young kid out of the way and to grab their Jamba Juice and run off, you know. Poor five-year-old kid. Minus his Jamba Juice, but I got it. So that's wrong desire. So that's linked, to the non-harm. And so greed, hate, delusion. And then this idea of non-harming is the opposite, is intention governed by ill will, aversion. Aversion is that wanting to get away from something. So that's often called the hatred part. Is if I can't stand this, I will harm somebody to get away from this experience of whatever it is. And then just the compassion, right? Intention governed by harmfulness itself, which is links to ignorance, because you wouldn't be doing something harmful if you really understood karma and emptiness.
So when I hear all this, it's like, okay, how do you put this into practice? What does it look like? Does that come later on? First you get the teaching and then later on you look at the practice?
Well, this is a good idea. So they're trying to get to right view. Are you speaking specifically about how to put this into practice, the intention?
Yeah, because I can see aversion in so many places in my life.
Okay, so the first step that you put it into practice is awareness, right? So that's the first thing, is awareness with wisdom, which is why we talk about wisdom to begin with, because you begin to watch. This is all experience-based. You begin to watch what happens when I act this way. right? What happens when this aversion comes up in me and I automatically knee-jerk hurt someone to get away from it or harm myself to get away from it? What do I mean by that? I apparently am coming to this conclusion that I have a sugar addiction. It's kind of like, does that qualify me for a 12-step program? Because I've always wanted to do a 12-step program. Do they have one for sugar addiction? If not, they should. Okay, we should. So when I look deep, when I notice recently, when I'm at the high school graduation party, and there is a whole counter full of, there are 14 of us that go, two of them little kids, and my sister-in-law has provided 4 cakes, a plate of chocolate eclairs, a platter of different kinds of brownies, a platter of little mini tarts, and a platter of mini cupcakes. And we walk in and she says, we don't want any of this to be left over when you all leave, and there are 12 of us adults. So my reaction is, wow, that's all the excuse I need. it really dovetails. I'm really quite serious about NVC being how we put our practice into practice, because the Buddha didn't talk so much about how we do it in our modern day life, in our emotional life, in a really super accessible way. You can find it and develop it through practicing the Lam Rim, through practicing all these things. If you want to, but you always have to begin with awareness, because if you're not aware of the problem, you aren't aware of the solution. So aversion is, why am I eating so much sugar? Why did I just have my third piece of chocolate cake? Well, the aversion is, I, like a lot of families, there's family shared karma, and it can get a little uncomfortable. And I have a big aversion to feeling, actually experiencing those uncomfortable feelings. And to get in touch with underneath is the sorrow of unmet needs in the past, right? Like the unmet need for connection and sense of belonging and intimacy, because it's not there. Now, that's how you begin to practice with it. Just by noticing is the first step. Because if you don't just, which is why you need meditation, because without what meditation, we don't actually create this and develop the skill of attention and holding our attention long enough to be able to be present with those layers of, oh yeah, I just noticed this, I did this, well, what was underneath that? Well, this, well, what was underneath that? That, yeah, it was full-on aversion, and I completely self-medicated with 3 pieces of chocolate cake, plus, I won't even tell you what, it's just too long, you know? Does that help?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we begin to see everything that the Buddha taught came out of his own experience through looking deeply, right? So when we have this intention, part of the question is going to be, and maybe I'm going to just stop talking about it and go right to a meditation, because the question is really, what is the intention? I mean, that's one way to practice with it, is to ask questions, because looking deeply comes with asking questions. So that's like one question, bringing the awareness to right view. What are my views? How does my life change? What happens when I really practice this understanding of karma I got tonight and pick one thing and work on it karmically instead of out there robocalizing it, instead of working with the dry cement and being so upset that I can't change the dry cement in the shape of the sidewalk? Look forward, where am I going to lay down my new path? By working with planting karmic seeds. And one thing here is to look at, all right, what is my, I don't know what my deepest intention is. The questions here would be, what really matters? What is my true aspiration? The problem is that we have such a hard time realizing and opening to our deepest aspiration and our deepest desires, because we're stuck in that greed, hate, and delusion. We're stuck in the self-promotion, the grasping, the conflict. And so the aspiration that's really the compass of our heart that guides us into living with, you know, wisdom and compassion, we don't even, we cover it up. I was thinking about how my true aspiration can just get lost in the midst of busy daily life, right? And then instead of definite emergence, which is when our aspiration's really strong, we can then check in, am I living, it's going to guide how much we're living in alignment with our true aspiration. So you want to do a meditation about this instead of like just more chatting? Let's do that. So finding your posture, coming back to present moment awareness, which means releasing the engagement, the fusion of your attention with your thoughts, with the outside stimuli of noise or sensations, and bringing the mind right in to the very stillness that we had before of body, speech, and mind. A stillness that comes from enjoying being lucid, enjoying being present, enjoying being there to fully experience the sensations, enjoying giving the mind a luxury vacation of being completely free of distracting thoughts and ruminations. And allow the respirations to settle into its natural rhythm. And in this stillness, pose a simple question. To what do I aspire? What is my heart's desire? So this is a meditation where you get to allow your mind to images and so on to run wild, bringing your mind, your awareness, to your most cherished wishes, your highest aspirations. Another way to ask it is just, what is it that matters to thee? Most deeply. And then as if you wish, you can begin to imagine the light from, symbolically, the light from your heart's desire beginning to suffuse your whole being, your whole body and mind and emotions, kind of a sort of affection or kindness for yourself. And begin to maybe add the words, with this yearning, with this longing, with this desire, true heart's desire, may I find the happiness and fulfillment I seek. imagining that it's really not beyond your grasp, not beyond your potential. You can experience the fulfillment of this. But to realize your own deepest aspirations, your own, for your own lasting happiness and well-being, you might ask, what do I truly need from the world? Again, we're deeply interconnected. To manifest, to realize our heart's deepest desire, certainly not something we can do in isolation on our own. So what would you love to receive from the world in order to realize your own meaningful aspirations? And then allow yourself, allow that imagination to run wild and see that you're receiving, that reality is rising up to meet you, providing you everything that you need to realize your full heart's desire. That when we truly become in alignment with our true heart's desire, with our highest aspiration, reality itself begins to align to support it. So if it helps, you might imagine for a moment, with each in-breath, reality rising up to meet you, offering from day to day exactly what you need to follow the path to your own fulfillment. Nurturing, sustaining, supporting you. You might then symbolically imagine on every inhalation light coming from the outside world, bringing to you from all sides, all directions, this is sustenance, nourishment, support. And then ask yourself, how would I love to transform? What would I like to see change in myself? How would I love to craft my life, my way of being, quality of my mind or heart? What would I like to let go of, and what would I like to enhance or create or embrace or bring in? And again, allowing your imagination to play. And then, for the sake of your own fulfillment, your own aspiration, consider and raise the question now, what would you love to offer the world? what would you love to really offer the world so that as you looked back on your life, at the end of your life, or even in before, you could look back without regret and a sense of satisfaction that you had given this world what you wanted to give. And then with each breath out, imagine again light flowing from your heart, sending that gift out, your offering out to the world. Offering this gift to others with a sense of warmth and loving kindness. And then now releasing all imaginings. And again, just rest in the stillness of body, speech, and mind, in present moment awareness. What's that? So the idea here with aspiration and intention is truly, we can come back to it at the beginning of next class. But when we do this kind of inner vision quest, periodically, even if we've done it before, it's good to continue to come back and come down through the layers and check in with our own true heart's desires. You know, when we're kids, we have that. We have a sense that we have a meaning and purpose in our lives. Like we just come in with there's something that's very alive for us. And then it gets covered up, and it gets so covered up with stress and busyness and all the competing demands and messages we get, especially these days. So to come back to this question and ask this question of ourselves, and in any way, this is one way to ask, and develop this genuine connection with our innermost aspiration, it will change, you know, it will morph, it will deepen, it will sometimes surprise you. It's really to a place to allow the imagination free rein here and see. It's almost like you're listening to what comes up, what your heart wants to say. And then to do this, to wish it, then to really be doing it with the wishing for ourselves with loving kindness, that we manifest it, that we step into this. It's a good place to start. And it forms a real solid ground of love and care and compassion for ourselves that we can then use as a basis to reach out to others with. And even just asking this question over and over will evolve our own spiritual path, honestly, just to keep coming back to this question. So another thing, like part of why I've been trying to give these homeworks is to answer this question, how do I actually practice with it? And one of the ways to practice is to spend just a moment in your day, in your busy day, to give yourself the space to check in with, where is my intention now? What is my intention now? And to try and quiet down to really hear, what is my heart's intention? And then what you'll see is when we really find it and ground in it, then it is true. Reality morphs in a weird way to rise up to support you. You know, strange things start happening the more you get more deeply in touch with that. Especially the more it's in alignment with your wish for genuine happiness. So that's our closing for tonight. And we'll do that next week. Let's finish with our prayers and prostrations. And
Sashi
Puki Jibshin Neto Tram Rira Glinshi Nende Gempadi Sange Shindu Mite Uwagi Droka Namda Shinla Chupasho Iram Gurana Mandalakam Niryatayami Gewadi Kewokum Tsunam Yeshe Soksokshin Tsunam Yeshe Lejongwe Dampakuni Tupasho.
So we gave away the good energy, the good karma we created here with that prayer. And so that's working things karmically to keep this coming back to us. So we have three more classes after this, right? 6, 7, 8. So I will see you next week. There's meditation in the morning, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That Maureen wants to donate out. So the one on top needs to go back into the closet.
Last time she said stack them over there.
She told me that those are the ones.
No, perfect.
She's like, I don't want those ones. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, last time she was trying to figure out how to, because it was getting so tall, you know, and she's like, just stack them here. Mm-hmm. Grateful there was someone with an update available.
I remember the whole stack it here thing, too. She said that there were old ones, but she wanted to get rid of them, and we talked about getting donations for them, and I said, I would give you a donation for them. That's all I have in my circle.
Oh, right, so if people wanted to have supplements at home, yeah.
And don't have to go to Amazon.
Yeah.
You do that really well, though.
Hey, tall woman, want to do one more?
Sure.
Okay.
This?
Yeah.
Sure.
So maybe in August or something.
We can't ever know.
On Wednesday.
Sure.
Remember I mentioned that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you want to. Because that would be like kind of like a light. And I wouldn't know.
Do you want to do it sooner than August, or you just want